Hello, and welcome to the Beacon Group's noon step meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name's Kirsten, and I'm an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. And if you're new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. And if you're new or not so new and you're looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience, and you're willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker's sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. And this quote will always be from AA literature. So our speaker will share today for 30 minutes on the step of the day, and then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group's going to have a moderator who's going to divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged when we share during breakout rooms. And when you share, please be sure that your environment's quiet and free of distractions. Our breakout rooms end at 12:54, and then we come back for day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. I have asked our friend Sam to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Sam?
Sam, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Sam. Today, we will hear a talk on step 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Please give a warm welcome to Meg from Los Angeles, California. Welcome, Meg.
Hi, I'm Meg, and I'm an alcoholic. I think it's supposed to be
Hi,
step
Meg.
8 9, right?
That's it, 9 today.
I'm
Yeah,
so sorry.
it's
okay.
You're gonna have to read the step.
Don't, yeah, just read the step, the two steps. Okay, I will just read them. I don't know if I'm doing this wrong, but I won't drink over it. Step 8 is made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And then step 9 is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Did I say I was an alcoholic? Well, I am. I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 23rd, 2014. I don't plan to drink for the next 2 days. So I'm coming up on 9 years. And so, yeah, I guess I have 8 years and 363 days of sobriety. I was also told to always say, like, I'm gonna have 9 years. I love when people are like, I'll have 10 years in September. Like, it's February. Anyway, this is my first sobriety. I hope it's my last sobriety. I would just prefer to have only this sobriety date. I want to welcome anyone who's new and anyone coming back, which means you're also new. Yeah, so I live in Los Angeles. I'm from Los Angeles. I'm currently in the house I grew up in because I live there now with my husband and my baby and my sober mom. So it's a sober, big sober house. I'm in the baby room right now. And that's why I have an elephant behind me. Yeah, steps 8 and 9. I'll just say about my drinking, which is I drank from age 20 to 31. The first time I drank, I really made a fool of myself. I got wasted in Las Vegas and made a fool of myself and was inappropriate with inappropriate people. And afterwards, I said I would never drink again. I swore off of it, and I never drank until right before my senior year in college because I have a sober mom, and I thought and my grandfather died as a result of his alcoholism, and I never met him, and I kind of just knew that I probably had this thing, and so I wore not drinking as as a badge of honor and as a way to separate from me and you, and saying I'm better than you because I'm straight edge and don't drink, unlike you awful people. And now look at us. And then senior year, I decided F it, and decided to drink. And then I drank for 11 years, and it didn't matter to me that I thought not drinking would mean that I wasn't an alcoholic. And as soon as I let it into my life, I drank and did things that embarrassed myself. So that is why I'm here. I blacked out on and off for 11 years and ended up in places I didn't want to, with people I didn't want to, and made a fool of myself many times. And I also had a lot of fun. I mean, I did have a lot of fun, but I also never knew what was going to happen. And in order to prevent those things from happening, I am a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I go to meetings, and so there you go. So step 8 is, I had a sponsor who said to me, you can't date until you've gone through the steps, because you have nothing to offer anyone unless you've had a spiritual experience as a result of the steps. I thought it was very harsh and not nice, but I also listened to her, and I was willing to listen to her because I had really gone, come to my, was at my knees, when I came in. I also came in because I wanted to get a guy back that I'd been dating for a month and a half. He told me I had a drinking problem, and I was like, I will go to AA. And that is not the man who is my husband today, thank God. Because when I was drinking, I wasn't picking the best people. He's a good man, but he's not the person I was supposed to be with. So all that in mind, and I try to say that every time I speak, is that, that what my sponsor said to me is, do the steps. You are not in a fit shape to be in partnership unless you've done the steps, because you will probably repeat the mistakes of your past if you don't, if you just abstain. So, I didn't date for my first 2 years of sobriety, which meant for me that I didn't date for my first 2 years of sobriety. It also meant that I had a carrot dangling in front of me that made me do the steps and made me do them so rigorously. So I'll just say that for my fourth step, it was over 400 pages, and that is without a sex inventory. And so with the sex inventory, I don't know how many pages, and I'm not going to reveal that information here, but I had a really long fourth step. And so what I was told to do was made a list of all persons who we had harmed. I'm not someone who was told to burn their fourth step. And I'm glad, because I feel like that's information that I should have and also share with sponsees and be able to look at. So I didn't burn the fourth step. What my sponsor said is, that is the list of all the people you had harmed. And I was like, that's 400 people. And so what she had me do was make a note card of everyone on the list. And so I have all the note cards in that room. I'm glad I don't have a husband who's going to go through them like my father did with my mother. They're divorced now, so that makes sense. I had these note cards. I have these note cards, and I haven't made amends to everyone. Because some people I'm not supposed to make the amends to, and the best amends I can make to them is leaving them alone, and staying sober. So I made a list of all the people I had harmed previously in the fourth step, and then I made note cards of every single person's name, and some of them I didn't have much to write about, and other people. I just wrote bullet points on the backs of each of the note cards of, you know, where I was selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, afraid, and kind of my character defects. And so I was told for the fourth step for it to be a fact-finding mission, not something to, and I sponsor women and I have a sponsee. I don't know, maybe it's LA is different. People are like, this is really difficult for me to like go through this. I'm like, okay, like I don't care. Like, just do it. It's like, it's really difficult. It's a lot of like, it's really difficult for me. I was like, yeah, imagine all the people that it was difficult for you to have harmed. And like me. And so yeah, it's like doing the four step stirs up a lot of emotions. And for me, I guess I kind of understood in the third column, I understood kind of why I was upset. And then I thought that was very helpful to kind of understand that I wasn't just like, a lot of times, you know, my ego, my safety, those things felt threatened or hurt. But really what was always expressed to me was, you know, this is about your part. This is about your part. This is about your part. And sorry if I'm all over the place. As I said, like I have a 3-month-old, like my brain is just not totally all there. Anyway, so as it says here, like I made an unsparing survey of the human wreckage that I left in my wake. And that's what I was told to do. Not justifying. And I've had sponsees like write out in the second column, oh my God, so long. And I was like, stop. It should be like a sentence at most, you know, but it's usually just a few words. And a lot of the resentments are like, I am jealous of that person. and I didn't get what I wanted. And mostly it's a lot of like, and this person didn't validate me because what I want is a lot of validation. And so, you know, doing the list is like, I don't necessarily need to make a physical amends to some of these people who, you know, I was just jealous of. But I, you know, a lot of it had to do with my sex conduct, as we say. And so I had to go through those. Yeah, you know, I'm in another program, and a lot of that is you don't contact the men from your past because it probably a lot of times won't be safe for you. I didn't have that. You know, I am into programs, and my AA sponsor said AA always comes first. And if you have any conflicting direction, AA always comes first. And that's how I behaved. And so I did make, you know, I have a list of a lot of exes who speak to me, a lot of exes who are in my life. And I, you know, I got to sit in front of them and, you know, make an amend and not just apologize for cheating or for screaming at them or for being unavailable. you know, I have been told that making an amends is to change your behavior, not to just apologize. And I feel like I've heard, and I'm sure everyone has like horror stories of like, this person made an amends to me and like, it was awful. Like they just told me all the things that I did wrong. Because I was like, that's definitely not how you're supposed to do an amends. It's, what was expressed to me was, okay, I'll just go through kind of what I was told to say in an amends, which is like, I'm a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Most of those people already knew that, but I said it anyway. And I said, you know, I need to make right. I believe that I've harmed you. And so I need to make that right, you know, in order for me to stay sober, which sometimes feels like a selfish thing, but it's also, that's the truth. And these are how I believed I've harmed you. My sponsor always said to me, like, you're not reading your fourth step. This is not every single thing. And if someone like, if you were, for me, it's like, I'm like totally a gossip monger. It was also my job for a decade to like write about celebrity news. And my parents are both entertainment journalists. So it's kind of like my dad's license plate growing up was to gossip. It's, yeah, I don't know. I live in LA. And like, so that is a thing that I still struggle with. But, you know, I didn't need to go to everybody that I've either gossiped about or been judgmental about and say, like, I don't like you, or I'm sorry I said this thing. If they knew about it, yes. And sometimes people did know about it. And so I had to make an amends for being unkind or judgmental. But it's, as we say, like, you know, you don't make amends to people that where it would injure them or others. I didn't need to tell them something that would hurt their feelings. Like, I'm also not someone who likes to, if someone is speaking ill of me, a lot of times they're like totally allowed to. I mean, they're always allowed to, but you know, I kind of got taught in AA not to information seek, and that I was told other people's opinions of me are none of my business. And so I try not to ask questions to find out kind of what someone thinks of me. And that's can be hard because I want to know what everyone thinks about me all the time, but it's mostly just like that you love me. Anyway, so I say the harms that I've done, I do not, I don't read it off. I was told, like, you know, read it off in front of them. I make the notes. I read it. I wrote it all out before and then tried to like memorize it. And then I, you know, basically said like how I was selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and not really like afraid usually. Because I feel like that can be a justification, sound like a justification. And then ask, is there, and that doesn't take that long. Like, I'm not saying I did this. And my sponsor said to me, you do not justify anything. You just say what you did. And that's it. Because I've gone through stuff with sponsees and like, because I'm like, no. You just say like, and there's something I found so freeing about like every day I am selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid pretty much in some capacity. I feel like there's something I've done. And also that's okay. Like everyone is like that. And just to admit it, I found to be very freeing. To admit you're manipulative, to admit you were selfish, to admit, you know, you're trying to put yourself first. It's so difficult for me still in general to understand, like, I am an imperfect person. But when I realize that, other people can be imperfect too. So I say the list of the harms that I'm aware of, and I say, these are the harms that I am aware of. Is there anything else? And sometimes people have said, yes, there's other things. And I let them And I think I've been pretty good about this. And I let them say whatever it is. I will say, I definitely don't ever want to say, is there anything else? I'm not like, oh, tell me more. But I do it anyway. And that's what AA is like, I don't necessarily want to do the thing, but I do it anyway. And I'm of the belief, like, take the action and like the thoughts will follow. And also sometimes maybe the thoughts don't, like the good thoughts about something will do follow, but you've taken the action. And so, you know, like you don't have to make an amends for, you've taken the action and that's all that matters. Like we're not in the thought police. Like you don't always have to have good thoughts about something. You might not always want to go to a meeting. I like meetings. I'm someone who loves AA, who loves meetings, but, I think regardless of wanting to go to a meeting, you got to go anyway. Even if you don't want to, I based everything in my life on what I wanted to do. And that didn't make me a very happy person. And I found that in AA, my sponsor told me what to do. And I did it and I felt better about myself and I had self-esteem because I showed up and did the things I said I was going to do, like an amends and like saying, is there anything else? Even though I don't want to say that because I don't want to feel bad about something that I did, but I say it anyway and move through it and hear what this person has to say, because I can give them the dignity of not telling them all the harms and letting them, you know, tell me how I hurt them. And then after I let them say whatever, and a lot of times they don't have anything to add, which is nice. And I explained to them like that this is about changing my behavior. I tend to apologize, or admit, you know, that I am sorry, for causing them harm. And then I say to them that this is about amending my behavior, not just an apology, that really this is about amending my behavior and how I'm going to amend the behavior, whether it's leaving them alone, whether it's not speaking ill of them, whether it's paying them back for something. And more often than not, I've had like really lovely conversations with these people. So just quite specifically, so one of the first amends I had to make was to my coworker. I was having like an affair with my married coworker right before I got sober. And you know, I didn't make amends to him for a while and I had to work with him. And there were four people that I worked with in a house. We worked in a house together. And you know, I had said to him right when I got sober, I just want you to know that I can only have conversations with you about work. If there's anything else, if there's anything else you have to say to me, like I can only talk about work. And I did that for, I don't remember how long it was. He ended up moving away. And I don't know if it was 6 months or a year that I only spoke to him, and it's continued. It's been, you know, 8 years. It's continued that I showed him that I meant that. Like, I didn't just say that. I didn't ask him questions about his wife or this or that, or how unhappy he was. It's like, he had something to do with photos and I would take his photos and make articles about it. And so if I had a question about a photo, I would email him and that is it. And when I found out he was moving, it was before I was making amends. You know, I called my sponsor and I said, this guy's moving. I haven't made an amends yet. And so we went through this whole process of what to say. And, you know, I got to take him outside of where we worked one day and say, before you move, you know, I know that I harmed you. I was just wanted validation. I didn't care. I was selfish. I didn't care about your marriage. I was manipulative with you because I wanted that. And I got to say, I knew he hadn't told his wife, you know, and this was something that was for the majority, mostly a virtual affair. I just got to say to him, if you ever tell your wife, please let me know. And I will try to make that right. Because
I knew he hadn't told her. I'm not going to go and make an amends. And it's very clearly stated. And so I'm probably not telling you anything you don't know, but it's very clearly stated. You don't go and like tell your partner if you've had affairs, or like go tell that person's partner. And I have a sponsor right now who is physically sober, but has been cheating and like contacts the woman. And it's just like, it's so harmful. I already took really selfish actions by not caring about, this wife, when I was drinking, and now that I'm sober, like I can. And so this person has never contacted me. And so he probably didn't tell his wife, and it's not for me to, it's not for me to harm that person, 'cause I feel guilty, or I want to make something, make myself feel better. This is something small right now where, I have a friend in AA, and she's an ex-boyfriend in AA. And, I got invited to the ex-boyfriend's wedding, and I didn't know whether to go or not. And I went to support, and I feel guilty now when I see my friend. They broke up a while ago. It was not like a crazy, and like, I feel guilty, and I want to be like, I went to the wedding, I'm sorry. And it's like, that's just so I can feel better. Like, this friend doesn't need to know. And I didn't do anything wrong by going, but I feel so guilty. And I'm not that guilty. It's okay. But I notice that I feel guilty when I talk to her, and I just like need to just not say anything, 'cause she doesn't need to know. But that's just the like, oh, that would just hurt her so that I could feel like not a bad friend. Anyway, so I made that amends to that guy, and, and the biggest amends to make to him is A, to leave him alone. So I unfriended him on all social media when I got sober. I didn't ask any questions about him, and I didn't, I didn't information seek. That's a really big one. I didn't ask questions. Didn't information seek. So the biggest amends to make is just not be someone who has affairs with people. Like, that's it. That's how you do it. I always said, like, you can't drunk text if you're not drunk. Like, that's a big deal. I've been drunk texted in 9 years. And so I got to, make that amends. And that's kind of the path of like knocking those things down and kind of seeing how selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid I am in my relations, certainly with men. And then I made an amends, my problem, I don't know if it's a problem, but like I would cheat on a guy that I cheated on a guy I lived with. And I came back from like making out with someone drunk, and I told him, like, that's what I did. I said, oh, I was honest about cheating. Like, what? Or like, we were dating. There's a reason I didn't date for 2 years. I mean, this is why, because this is what I was like when I drank, where I was like, oh, we're going to be on a 1 week break. Like, because my like middle school crush, like, wanted to have drinks with me. Like, that's the kind of person I was. Like, I was in an unhappy relationship with someone who did not want to be intimate. And instead of breaking up with that person, I sought it out in other ways. And that is like, that's selfish behavior. And I got to make an amends to that guy. And, for him, he said, I wouldn't have done anything differently. Like, I don't have regrets. I do. And it's just like, okay, he can feel that way. But like, I know that I cannot act like that. I can't have a big thing for me was like intriguing with other men, which was like constantly talking to other men or revealing, like trauma bonding with other men on like Facebook Messenger and things like that when I was in a relationship. And that would often lead to, being drunk and acting out. And, that's not something I do now. Those are the behaviors that I, realized while making amends that like, I can't act like this if I want to be in a relationship. 5 minutes, I see. I sat in front of many exes and was able to just like acknowledge my poor alcoholic selfish behavior and have them, you know, a lot of these people are still in my life, which is shocking to me because of my bad behavior. And a lot of those people were actually at my wedding, like, and who care about me. And I've been able to have completely platonic relationships with them for 9 years, because I learned through, you know, making the amends, through watching my sponsor have a husband and watch how she had male friendships. Like, I didn't know how to have a male friendship, a platonic male friendship, without wanting that person to want to sleep with me because I didn't feel good about who I was. And I got to have those conversations with those friends that I used for that. The friends, the ex-boyfriends. And I do think that that allowed me to have, you know, that it took 2 years, 1 month and 1 week for me to go on my first date in sobriety. And I had met a guy when I was 2 months sober that I, we were hanging out alone, and I wasn't supposed to hang out alone with anyone in like any man in my apartment. And I basically sort of manipulated him into like moving an air conditioner into the apartment, and we were in the apartment alone, and I wasn't supposed to be like alone with men, because that's how I, instead of putting myself in these positions, vulnerable positions, I usually did not do that. And I did that with him, and I told him I was attracted to him and I didn't know what to do. And he said the same thing. And what he did was, we went for a walk. He was like, let's leave the apartment. And I was like, what? And he's sober. And, you know, we both decided, and I was 6 months sober, that our friendship needed to have space, that we weren't going to Facebook message like I had with other people, that we weren't going to hang out. We weren't going to talk on the phone, that we were going to only be with each other in meetings. We were only with each other in meetings and during fellowship. And, you know, we weren't perfect at that, but I knew, given my past, and that my sponsor kept telling me I had nothing to offer anyone, that it wasn't appropriate for me to do what I had done before. So I made changes. And then during those times, at the 6 months, I hadn't done the amends yet, but during that time I did the amends, and I got to see, and I'm so glad that I didn't date someone when I was 6 months sober, because I would have ruined him. He's like a very nice man. And I would have just, I just would have like eaten him alive. And like, when I had two years, one week and one day, my sponsor said, you call him and say you're available to be asked out, because you're too dominating. And so let him know that you can be asked out. And he asked me out. And then I told him, you know, I can't talk about marriage till we've been dating for a year of sobriety. Dating for a year. And at our 1 year anniversary dinner, he told me, you know, he wanted to marry me and let me know that letting me know that his intentions were to marry me. And then 6 months later, he asked me, you know, to marry him, and we got married, and we've been married 4.5 years, and we have a 3-month-old, and, you know, she's so cute. And he's such a good dad. Oh my God. And I wouldn't have been like the person I would have picked before I did all this. You know, those other men, I saw them. I know them. I saw them. They would not have been the person that I would have wanted to pick to have this life with. And I guess for me, seeing all these exes, I was like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not with them. It wasn't like, oh, I wish I was with that person. I just thought, oh God, I'm so glad I'm not with them. And so that for me, those amends were also an amends to myself. And I'm just wrapping up, is they're an amends to myself, and doing, you know, doing all this work got to show me who I didn't want to be, who I did want to be and who I did want to be with. And I'm so grateful. Like, I'm so grateful, and I need to be still so diligent, and I am slacking on some of the diligence of, especially when you are a new mom. But like, I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful I didn't pick the person, you know. My life is just so much better, and I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful to steps 8 and 9, for showing me, you know, how broken I was and how to mend myself again. So thanks.